Welcome to the Love Makers Podcast, your guide to navigating love and relationships, brought to you by Inner Meets Outer, and your hosts, Jade Huang and Daniel Meyer, partners both in life and in coaching. Each episode, we'll share practical tips and insights for all stages of your relationship journey. This podcast is part of Inner Meets Outer's mission to empower you with agency and gratitude, both in your love life and your life at large. So join us as we dive into the world of love together. Welcome back, lovemakers, for another episode. This is Daniel, joined, as always, with my lovely partner and beautiful Jade. Say hi, Jade.
Hello.
Jade?
Yep.
Have you been using that peanut butter facial recipe that I told you about?
When?
Yeah. Every night. You should be using it every night.
You know, I think I'm happy with my skin.
Well, you'd be even happier if you tried that peanut butter. Trust me.
Okay.
Today is part two of our four-part series on Conflict Resolution 101. Today, we will be speaking of how to communicate our feelings to another person and to ourselves, for that matter. But before we get into that, I want to talk about just a little bit of review from our part one, which was observing the circumstance and not evaluating the circumstance, not judging the circumstance. Mm-hmm. And Jade, what were our key takeaways from that episode?
Yeah, the key takeaway from that episode was bringing the power from you to I. It doesn't have to be you, but it could be he or she or they or anything external, not you. So bringing the power back, asking yourself, where is the power in this sentence? For example, you're married to your job, right? That's not observation, that's judgment. So what would you say instead is something like this. I've seen you working late every night this week. That's it. That's an observation. There is no evaluation about it.
And when you say that, I feel so much better in my body.
Yeah.
More relaxed. Even though I know you weren't speaking to me directly, but I did feel a little tension there when you said that. All right. Any other takeaways?
Another takeaway, it's similar to the first one. Remember to use active voice, not the passive voice. So this is all about agency. The passive means something's done to you. Active voice is you feel this way. I see this way. I observe this way. So this is you. You're the main person.
You know, I actually encountered this past week when I was teaching. I'm also a teacher. And I had a student emailed me and the email was using language that I would not normally associate with how one would talk to their teacher. And I went to confront and talk to the student and I caught myself. I nearly said to the student initially, hey, I got your email and you did not respect me. It was basically what I was going to say. So I don't think the language you were using showed me proper respect.
Yeah.
And I realized that that was going to begin with this
you
judgmental you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, how do I want to reshape that so that I'm not starting out with this judging tone? So I changed it and I said, I received your email this week and let's take a look at the language you used in there and tell me what you think.
Yep.
And I don't know if that was the perfect way to approach it, but I do think it led to a better conclusion. You have to be even more careful because as a teacher, you are in this position of authority over the student. And if we are abusing that, and I see this as using this language of the jackal, it's a language of violence. It's a language of power over the other person. And we have to be especially careful when we're in a position of authority to use language of the giraffe, use the language of empathy, and it can be even more difficult. Because if I say to that student, you're not respecting me, that student, even if they disagree, they have no path, no method in which they can come back at me. They're probably their only option at that point is to feel bad about themselves, to label themselves as disrespectful, even if that wasn't their intention, even if they had no idea that that's how they were coming across. Now, I'm a disrespectful student.
Yeah. this is great because right. one of the videos that I watched preparing this episode, in the video, he talks about how Jekyll language is the language that believes there is inherently good or bad. And so you're separating good or bad and nice and not nice. So when you think about the authority and the people who are not, then you need to follow the people who are in power. Otherwise, you're not nice. You're not kind. You're not fitting in to the society. I think when we believe that there is inherently good or bad, it's really easy to get to the judgment. When you don't do this, you're bad. And then it's a judgment, right? So I love your example. That's really perfect.
Yeah. And this week, we are going to be talking about what's the next step. Mm. So you've shared these observations. You're doing a great job of not judging. And you're beginning the conversation with a non-judgmental observation. So what's next?
Mm.
And the next step is to name your feeling. And we're going to talk about what that looks like and what that doesn't look like.
Mm. Yeah. The second technique for nonviolent communication sounds very simple because we all know what feelings are, but most of us aren't very good at it at all. We're really bad at talking about our feelings. And when I was preparing this episode, I was so surprised that how many mistakes I made. I thought they were feelings, but they were actually not feelings. So we're going to actually talk more about that later. But that was a great experience for me to actually understand, oh, we're really bad at it because I'm a coach. I help other people with this stuff, right? And so I was like, oh my goodness, I was doing it wrong at some point.
I like to look at it as you weren't doing it wrong. Mm. You were just at a different path or a different part of that journey of learning.
Yeah.
And you wanted to get some more practice and you got some practice. Mm. And as am I, me too, I wasn't any different part of that journey or a different part of that path.
Yeah.
And I was also learning as we developed this episode. Mm. And that brings us to the crunchy section this week.
Mm-hmm.
And in our crunchy section this week, we are going to be speaking about things to avoid when we are trying to communicate our feelings to the other person or to ourselves. Mm. You know, Jade, you and I have this ritual at pretty much every night. Mm-hmm. We write in our journal things that we're grateful for,
yep.
and we share that with each other. And often the things that we're grateful for, we write something about each other that we're grateful for as well, something that happened during that day.
Mm.
But sometimes you or I forget or miss a day.
Mm-hmm.
And this has caused some friction in our relationship both ways. When I forget or you forget, I think in the past, I might have gone and started with something judgmental, right? I would have been like, you miss so many more days than I do. I've said that to you. I know I've said that to you. You miss so many more days than I. That's entering the conversation with judgment.
Mm.
But let's say I've learned step one. Okay, I'm going to enter the conversation with an observation.
Mm.
Baby, I noticed this week that you missed 3 days of writing in our journal.
Mm.
I feel like you don't care about it as much as I do.
Mm.
That sounds like I'm sharing my feelings with you.
Yep.
I feel like you don't care.
Mm.
But really, that's just a deflection, right?
Right.
That's just me saying, I feel like something's your fault.
Mm.
It's just another interpretation as well.
It's like pretending to be taking responsibility, but actually not.
Yeah, exactly. There's a bunch of little statements like this, how we begin the I feels that are great indications that maybe you're doing it wrong.
Right. What are those?
I feel like, not a good starter. Right?
Yeah.
I feel, and then you say someone's name. I feel
Jade
is so rude.
Yeah.
Another deflection.
Mm.
I feel it's maybe not the best idea. Another deflection.
Right.
I feel I am maybe inadequate. There I'm talking to myself.
Mm.
All right. I feel I'm inadequate. Or I might be saying it to someone else. But again, that's not me actually feeling anything.
Yeah. It's not a genuine emotions. but almost like your opinion, thoughts, judgment,
a thought,
expectations of other people as well.
And that's what we're trying to avoid, is don't share your judgments and hide it in the phrase, I feel.
Yeah. When that happens, I try to change to I think. Because then at least I'm sharing that this is my thought, right? Not the feeling. Yeah. So I know it's not going to be easy from the beginning to change I feel something because we are doing it all the time. I notice how much I do this. So it's probably not going to be magic thing that from tomorrow we never say it like this. So I think easier, maybe the stepping stone could be when something like this comes up, I just change into I think.
Yeah. And I would say if you are having troubles tapping in to what you're actually feeling, if you're saying, I feel that Jade is rude.
Yeah.
I feel like you're being rude. Mm. Let's use that example. Well, what is the actual emotion you're feeling in that circumstance? Take it a step further. If, in fact, Jade is being rude, this circumstance, that may be a thought, but let's just imagine that she's being rude to me. How do I feel about that? What emotion is activated when Jade is being rude or when Jade is saying these things? Let's even take out the rude. You just say, when this is happening, what emotion is being activated? Jade's rudeness is not being activated in me.
No.
Right? That's impossible for that to happen inside me.
Yep.
What's happening inside you? And you can even go to your body. What does your body feel like in this circumstance when this is happening?
Yeah.
When these actions are being taken.
Mm.
So in the journal example, where I may have said something like, I think that you don't think this is important.
Mm.
What I'm really feeling in that moment isn't your feeling of lack of importance or your...
Yeah.
Right? That's not an emotion.
Yeah.
But how do I feel when you don't do the journal, when it seems to me that you're not taking it as seriously as me?
Right.
What is that emotion that's inside me that's activated?
Yeah.
Is maybe frustration, maybe annoyance, maybe sadness.
So that leads into another crunch bit that I notice that I make this mistake all the time, which is interpretation instead of feelings. For example, I say this quite a bit. I feel inadequate at making videos. I thought for sure feeling inadequate was an emotion.
But it's not, right?
Mm.
Inadequacy is not having something.
Mm.
Not having, in this case, maybe not having a skill of making videos. So I would ask you, if we wanted to take this to the next level, or maybe you could ask yourself, would be, okay, when I am making a video and I realize I don't have the skill to do something, what is the feeling, the emotion inside that is activated?
Mm.
What does your body feel like?
Yeah. Then I feel frustration and also maybe disappointment because I had this expectation of myself to be at a certain level. But when it's not like that, then I feel frustrated and disappointed.
Yeah. There you get out that actual emotion there.
Yeah. And then there are other words similar to inadequate, unimportant, misunderstood, ignored, and abused, attacked, betrayed. So many things. Like,
I know I've used a lot of those.
Yeah, unwanted, manipulated, interrupted, rejected. That's my favorite. Rejected. I use this a lot. Oh, I feel rejected. But actually, rejected is not a feeling.
No, it's an action, right? It's a verb. And I think that's the kind of the key there is rejection. It's a difficult one to accept because when I think of rejection, I think of vulnerability and sadness.
Yeah.
And then to hear like, actually, that's not an emotion. Mm. But I'm like, no, I feel sad. Well, that's what you feel.
Yeah.
You feel sadness.
Yeah.
And you feel despair.
Yeah.
But rejection is an evaluation of the circumstance.
Yes. And your opinion. So this distinction is so crucial to articulate your emotions. Because as soon as we think, I feel rejected, I feel abused, I feel attacked, you're actually giving so much power to the circumstances or the people involved in the situation. So just have a little session with yourself asking a question, where's the power? when I hear, yep. I feel rejected. Who rejects you? Someone else.
Yes. It's who's the rejecter?
Yeah.
And you lose your agency exactly. at that moment. Like you said, you become powerless. You are beholden to that person not rejecting you, to them accepting you again, to have your feelings change.
Another important thing is understanding what are core feelings. And I feel, I just caught myself.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect example.
I think.
We're not cutting this.
I think we don't learn this enough at school. When somebody asks you, what are core feelings? I don't think a lot of people would know.
I couldn't name it. Like, other than sadness and happiness.
Yeah, and anger, maybe. So we want to share the core feelings. So sadness, anger, fear, joy, happiness, awe, surprise.
Awe.
Awe.
Or as the Aussies say, awe.
Awe.
That's great. And these are the core feelings. That's not the extent of all emotions limited to these seven. That, of course, not. And it varies depending on which language you speak, English, Korean, Australian. And there's variations within these seven core feelings. So there's happiness, but then there's also in surprise, but maybe there's something in between that's excitement.
Yeah.
That's cheerfulness. I'm feeling
afraid, stressed, maybe annoyed, bored,
anxious, frustrated. Yeah. Frustrated is a version of anger. I was going to say happiness. It's definitely not a version of happiness.
No. Hurt or mad, resentful, bitter.
I'm gonna actually jump in
and
say hurt, I think, is an interpretation.
Is it?
So this is an example of, I think, of how easy it is to slip into interpretations. I feel hurt. Actually, you feel something different. The emotion is sadness, despair, or maybe you can even get to the body. I feel like a pain in my stomach that's closer to the emotion. But hurt says, this is an interpretation of the event. Somebody hurt me. I think the emotion there is I feel pain. So I think that brings us to this week's creamy section, which is how can we use I feel without crossing into these deflection or interpretation, but use it to properly. Use it to actually describe our emotions.
The first thing is learn the words of emotions. One of my favorite books is called Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown. She talks about all these different types of emotions. And when you learn what those emotions mean, you can use them a little bit more accurate, right? So having more words to describe your emotions, it's always helpful because you don't want to just say sad all the time, right? Although that's the core emotion. So it's helpful to communicate with people when you know more words. But also what's equally important is that knowing what is not emotion and what is emotion, right? So like the words we listed, something like rejected, ignored, misunderstood, unimportant, these are not really emotions. So understanding these are probably the step one here. And it's not easy because we're using it so wrong a lot of times. As we always say, our goal is not going 100% right. It is getting a little bit better.
I love the bit about expanding our vocabulary, our emotional vocabulary, because when we expand our dictionary, when we expand our vocabulary, then we get to know what's going on inside ourselves a lot more deeply at a more granular level. Instead of, like you said earlier, just calling everything sad or bad or happy, then we'll have more words to describe what's actually happening inside us so that we can become more aware and become more reflective on what we're feeling and know how to deal with that. I have a close friend who really hates it when people say, oh, that music's interesting, or that's interesting. I think that food is really interesting. He hates that word, interesting. And the reason is because it doesn't actually say anything, right? It doesn't say what is interesting about whatever the experience is. It doesn't explain what you're actually thinking. Mm-hmm. It's a very neutral word, interesting. Same with emotions. If we say sad and happy, we get a basic idea of what's going on. But if you want to get more granular, if you want to see what's happening behind the surface, then expanding that vocabulary is the key to doing that.
Yeah. It's going to be easier to communicate with other people as well. So I would suggest people listening to go and study some emotions. And we're going to share the emotion list in our website. So go there and really look at this to see, oh, I really don't use these words. That's how I felt when I was reading this. Oh, I only use very limited numbers of emotions that I was either wrong about this or very limited.
Yeah. I think it also will share the words and phrases that are not emotions that we discussed.
Yeah.
So you can compare them.
The good indicator for when it's not emotion is when you hear those words, you feel a little bit triggered. So for example, if you say, I feel rejected, I feel attacked, I feel misunderstood, I feel triggered. Right? Because it's not your feeling.
It's more, I think.
Yeah. It's more descriptions or interpretation or your opinion.
Yeah. And I know we're going to get into this shortly. When we say something like, I feel misunderstood or I feel attacked, you're not being vulnerable in that one. You're deflecting, as I said earlier, you're sharing an interpretation of someone else's actions of the circumstance.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to share what you're actually feeling.
So, another technique for not blaming other people for how we feel is to follow every expression of feeling with the phrase, because I. So, for example, you might say, I feel angry because I, instead of you.
And you notice that pins the responsibility directly on you.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. For example, I feel happy because I am getting my need met. Of security in our relationship. And we're going to talk about needs next week.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like a brief glimpse into next week's episode and needs.
Yeah.
But that's what follows.
Yeah.
I feel because I some sort of need.
Yeah. So we will go into the root of our feelings, which is a need, and either I needs that are being met or unmet.
And using that phrase, because I, is the perfect way to know that you are being vulnerable and honest.
Yep.
I feel because I opens you up to how you're honestly feeling.
Yeah.
Taking responsibility for that feeling. And by doing so, you're being vulnerable.
Yeah. The important thing here is the conventional honesty sometimes be mixed with personal judgment and might lead to misunderstandings or arguments. For example, saying you never listen to me can be the conventional honesty, right? You can just say, I'm just being honest. He never listens to me, right? But this is a mix of a little truth and a lot of personal judgment.
I think we also hide this when we say, this person is really direct. I love that they're so direct. Sometimes being direct, I love being direct too. We conflate it with being honest. But actually being direct with opinion is not being vulnerable or honest with how you're feeling. It's being not afraid to state your evaluation of somebody. It's not an easy thing, is it, being vulnerable, honest?
No.
Because like I just mentioned, we want to maybe deflect and hide our honesty being direct instead.
Yeah.
But being direct with our opinions and being direct with our evaluations that don't let other people into how we're actually feeling. Or deflecting in a way by saying what we think the other person wants to hear. All this can be difficult. This is, like we mentioned last episode, a whole new language. Right now, what we're doing is learning the grammar of this new language and some of the vocabulary. And what we really want to impart is how important it is to practice this because it's not going to be perfection. Practice it with yourself. This is where our business, inner meets outer, is very apparent. We're starting inner.
Yep.
Start with working on this language inside, when how you talk to yourself. Use vulnerable honesty. Share your feelings without evaluation. Share your observations without judgment. And if we were to sum up this episode, with a few key takeaways, what would be yours, Jade?
Think about, am I sharing feelings or my interpretation or my judgment? It can be quite tricky and sneaky as well, sometimes rejected and feeling hurt and things like that. So try to do a lot of evaluation of your language and learn about emotions.
Yeah, I like that. I guess my takeaway here is not hiding behind what you think other people want you to feel or say, or hiding behind directness with your opinion, with your judgment, but being vulnerable and honest about what you're actually feeling, your emotion.
Yeah.
And that's going to be difficult, I think, because we are often not vulnerable or honest with ourselves. Like we said earlier, it starts from the inner. Learn this for yourself first. All right. Next episode, we are going to be talking about the next step, how to communicate your needs. We've done observation, we've done feelings, next is needs. I'm super excited. But for now, bye, everybody.
Bye. Love you.
Love you.